Okay, so today is November 17th, 2010, and the lesson number we're going to do is called lesson number 126, the mouth and the head cavity. So already you can tell by the title it's a little different. So how we always begin in a lesson is lying on your back with your legs long and your arms down by your side. And we start by doing what we call a body scan. And I recommend that you start the scan up at the top of your head, but there's certainly no reason why you can't do a body scan starting at your feet. And what you do, though, in the body scan is to begin to observe and just notice how you're lying on the floor today. And so if we start at the top of your head, is just first of all noticing what part of the back of your head is actually resting and making contact on the floor. And sometimes it's hard to know what part is actually resting. So if you begin to do a real small, subtle movement of tilting your head, so think of your chin moving away from your chest as if you were going to look towards the back of the room. And then you bring your chin back down and almost like pull it in towards your throat. And if you just do that movement a few times, really slow, you'll start to feel where neutral is, neutral or center, somewhere in between there. And just do the movement maybe one more time and then just settle wherever your spot is. And then you'll notice, is your normal spot for you at neutral? And it's fine if it's not. All we're doing is looking at what is so for you. So just notice that. Do you tend to have your chin a little bit more away or a little more drawn in? And then if you take your mind now back to the back of your head, that then tells you where you lie with the back of your head resting on the floor. And then from your head, travel down to your shoulders and notice how each shoulder is resting on the floor today. And then see if you can draw your attention and awareness to your spine. So your spine, you should feel somewhere in between the shoulder blades, and then it travels all the way down to the area called your sacrum and connects into your pelvis. And notice for yourself how much of your spine can you feel. So as you go from all the way up at the base of your neck down to your tailbone, just notice if there's places along the way where you lose your sense. It becomes foggy, unclear. It's like you almost skip over an area. Just notice that for yourself. And when we come back at the end of the lesson, we'll check in and see if that's different for you. And then notice what areas really stand out for you. Nice. And then lastly, begin to notice how your legs are lying on the floor. Does one leg turn out more than the other? Does one leg feel longer? Perhaps one leg feels shorter? Good. And then the other thing to become aware of is your breath and your breathing. So those of you that are new, this is new for you. Those of you that have been here know the four parts to your breathing. So there's your inhalation. And at the end of your inhalation, there's a pause to transition you into exhalation. And then at the end of the exhalation is a pause. And in here, we're not interested in making your breath larger or bigger. All that we're interested in is that you have those four parts and that it's continuous. So whatever size your breath is good. Just trust that. But what's important is that you feel that you do an inhalation, you feel your pause, and then you feel yourself going into exhalation and the pause. And that's really the same thing I would encourage you to take into any form of working out or any class, is just to make sure you're breathing. Because your breathing is the one thing that is automatic in the nervous system. So for running or swimming, whatever the activity, it will change. It will regulate based on the activity. It'll get faster, larger, you know, whatever it needs to do. You really don't have to do that. But what we tend to do is hold our breath. So that's why we just want to make sure that we are breathing. So throughout the lesson, I'm going to draw your attention into checking in to make sure, are you breathing as you're doing the movements? Okay, so bend your knees, bring your feet to standing. And we're going to start by just doing a very subtle movement of tilting your pelvis. And we'll come back to this throughout the lesson. So most of you are familiar with this, but again, those of you that are new, imagine a clock that's on the ceiling. And I always put 12 o'clock up towards the direction of my head, and I think of 6 o'clock in the direction of my feet. So as you flatten your back, you go towards 12 o'clock. And then as you arch your back and come literally to sitting on your tailbone, so you really push your belly forward, and you're doing this with your legs standing. That's it. You just go back and forth towards 12 o'clock and 6 o'clock. So your knees are standing. And you're just going to tilt again towards 12 o'clock, which is flattening your lower back. And then bring it towards 6 o'clock as if you're going to sit on the tailbone and arch. So there's no lifting. It's completely a tilt. Is everybody clear on that? There's nothing lifting at all. And as you continue to tilt your pelvis, become aware of, there's like a drag, a pull, all the way on the spine up to your head. So remember that earlier movement that you did with your chin? So feel how the pelvis does that for you now. So as you press the lower back into the floor, the chin moves away from the chest. And then as you tilt your pelvis forward, sitting on the tailbone, it pulls your chin down. So here's this relationship, right? So you're moving your pelvis, but something's happening all the way up to your head. And for right now, you're just going to notice the quality, how smooth it is, the range that you have. And as I noticed on Tina, can you feel how it's easier, Tina, on the right side than the left to arch? And now go the other way and just notice how your belly comes more forward, easier on the right side. You feel that? So if anybody else notices that with themselves, just note that, and then we'll see if it changes. Okay. And then let that go and straighten your legs and rest. So as you're resting on your back now, you're going to draw your attention to inside your mouth. So this lesson takes a lot of thought and drawing your mind, your image, into your imagination. So take your mind, your thought, into the inside of your mouth. And using your tongue, reach back all the way to the back where your throat is, so that you can just identify where that is. And from the back of your throat, you're going to travel with your tongue along the roof of your mouth, coming all the way to where your front teeth are. And this is the inside, right? And as you go back and forth gently with your tongue, you begin to get a sense of the space that's inside your mouth, at least forward to back. So really sense the volume. When I say space, volume. Good. And now take your tongue over to the right side. So like back where we'll say where the back molars are on the right side. And then you're going to travel across the roof of the mouth over to the left side. So again, this is giving you now, going right to left, a sense of the volume and the space. And notice as your tongue goes along the roof of the mouth from the right to the left and back, how there's a movement in your jaw. How the lower jaw moves. Good. And just pause for a moment with your tongue. It can get a little tiring with your tongue, but keep the image of the inside of the head cavity here, mouth, throat cavity, in your mind, so that you're still sensing the space. And again, throughout the lesson, ask yourself, are you clenching your jaw or holding your breath at any time when I'm asking you to move your tongue? Now bringing your tongue back over to the right side again, and let's start back where like the wisdom teeth and this is on the upper palate, right? You're going to use your tongue, in a sense, to color, to paint the inside of the right palate of your mouth. So pick a color, whatever color comes to you, and just imagine as if your tongue was a paintbrush. And so you're going to go back and forth from the back of the mouth, along the roof of the mouth, to the front, all the way along where the teeth are, and then slowly making your way to where midline. And you don't want to cross over the midline. You're just going to do that right side. And sometimes as you're painting back and forth, you might notice that you missed a little tiny area. Very much like when, if you've ever really painted, sometimes, you know, you're painting and the brush hasn't been coated enough with paint, so little areas left. So you want to make sure you go back and forth, covering any little areas that might have gotten missed. So it means you're going all along the inside of the teeth, you know, to the front teeth, along the roof of the mouth, that's the midline, to the very back, where the throat is, and then all the way over to the right side. But make the movement going, you know, forward and back along the roof of the mouth. That's another thing. When you're painting, you always want your strokes to go in the same direction. You know, you don't want to paint across ways and then up and down because it creates a funny pattern and it dries funny. Can you tell I did a lot of painting? I've done a lot of painting. So up and down. And notice what happens by having a color there. Does that help the cavity and the space to become clearer? And then just pause for a moment if you have it all painted now. And just notice that right side that's painted and compare it to the left. Which side do you sense and feel more? And now let's go over to the left side. And you have two choices. You can either use the same color of paint to do the left side, or you can choose a different color, you know? And so two things will happen. If you choose a different color, you're going to have like this split, which is absolutely fine. It's whatever you want to do. Or if you use the same color, it's going to give you a sense of like a whole arc up there, the volume of both sides. But go ahead and start along the left side, back by the molars on the upper palate. And again, having smooth strokes with your tongue going forward and back, painting the left side. All the way coming to the midline. And it's interesting to notice for yourself if it's any different for your tongue to be to the left side of your mouth and upper palate compared to the right. Does anything change with your breathing? And again, go back and forth. Make sure that you get all those little areas. If you missed any little areas, you fill them in. So it's one solid color. Good. And then let that go and just pause and rest. And now bring your tongue down to the area right behind the lower teeth. So start right in the center. And actually scoop. There's like a little scooping you can do if you start by pressing against the lower teeth and then scoop down into the lower part of your jaw. So that you just get a sense of that space. Right? It's a shorter space, right? And if we think of arcs, it's a tighter, deeper arc. And then take your tongue now back to the back side of the lower right teeth. So you're in the lower jaw, and just allow your tongue to travel from the right side to the left along the teeth. So you're like doing the front part of that space. And again, as you travel along the teeth from right to left and then back, you'll notice that there's a subtle movement again with your jaw. So whenever the tongue moves right and left, you get movement with your jaw. Just notice that. And then, whenever you're ready, on the right side, begin to start coloring this right lower area. So you know where the midline is, and you know where the right molar lower teeth are. And so again, you're going to go back and forth. You can pick the same color that's above on the right side, a different color if you want. But you're doing the same movement forward and back, thinking of painting with your tongue to color that section. And as you're painting that section, you're really defining the space. So again, it's not as large or as deep, right? There's not the depth or the volume that the upper palate has. And just to notice that. And then if you feel like you need a break, you know, to swallow or just a break, take a break and then continue bringing your tongue over to the left side. And you're going to do the same thing on the left side. Again, you can choose the same color, a different color. And again, noticing what is it like for your tongue to go back over onto the left side and deep in the back, along the front of the teeth. Is there a difference in the way that your tongue goes to the left compared to the right? It's really fascinating. It's a lot about how you eat and chew food, and your tongue is much more comfortable going back to one side than the other. It's almost like it's foreign. Sometimes it feels strained, like there's an effort to go back to the other side. So just notice that. Not good, bad, right, or wrong, but it's just information about how you use your tongue and your jaw. And then whenever you're fully colored, you can just pause, bring your awareness and attention onto your breath and your breathing. Good. And now, can you imagine taking your right index finger, and again, you're just imagining that you would take the right index finger and you would bring it inside your mouth and you would feel the entire space inside your mouth. So you're not actually going to do it, but you imagine you're doing it. So what is it like to imagine your right finger now going over all the area that you painted? And does anything change or improve in your sense of the volume and space inside your mouth and throat and head cavity. It's really your head cavity, not your throat. And making sure that you travel down to the lower jaw. And then pause for a moment. And you're going to change your fingers. So you imagine now that you're going to bring your left index finger inside your mouth. And again, you're just going to go all along the roof of your mouth and back towards the back teeth and the front teeth and then to the lower jaw, clarifying this head cavity. And just notice how different it is when you imagine using your left index finger compared to your right. Good. And now, one more movement before we take another break is to take your tongue now and to actively move it from the upper right-hand corner, the back upper wisdom teeth. Travel your tongue all the way along the teeth on the inside, coming to the front teeth and then going all the way over to the left, back to the left wisdom teeth area. And again, you're using your tongue to encourage your sense of the space and volume. And can you now draw into your awareness as your tongue is going slowly along those teeth, that when you get back to the molar section, can you grasp in your mind, right, spatially, that right at that point is where your ears are? So let's say if you're over to the right side, as soon as you get back there with your tongue, pause for a moment to sense in your mind, oh, there's the passage. And can you in your mind even sense where the hole is that comes in from your ear and goes into your head cavity? And when that becomes clear to you, then your tongue can continue along the inside of the teeth, going, let's say, over to the left side. And again, doing the same thing. So once you're back there, it's back by those back molars, is you pause to recognize, oh, that's where the ear canal is, my ear. And if you really stay with it, you can start to sense exactly where that hole is. And then letting go of the movement with your tongue, can you just sense and feel those two whole spaces for your ears? And are they parallel? So if you were to draw like a line across, noticing that for yourself. And now keeping that in your thought, begin to focus on taking a breath in through your nostrils and feeling how the breath actually travels to the back of your throat and goes out your ears. And you can actually feel the ear spaces get larger. And then when you exhale, you can also feel the space, the hole for the ear actually contracts. It gets smaller. So as you inhale through your nose, you take the breath all the way back. It's like it hits the back of the throat and then divides, going left and right out each ear. So you feel the space of the ear hole, it gets larger, and on the exhale, it gets smaller. Really nice. Okay, and then just take a pause from all of that. And then bend your knees, bring your feet up to standing. And let's go back to the earlier movement of just starting to tilt your pelvis. And as you tilt your pelvis, noticing again how your chin pulls down and then how the chin moves away. And can you somehow still have in your mind's eye that hole inside of the head cavity as you're tilting your pelvis and feeling how your head now is moving relative to your spine? So your focus is on the tilting of the pelvis, but you still have in the back of your mind that head cavity space. And then you also feel the tilting. That's it. And make sure when you tilt your pelvis that your feet are parallel. Your feet should be standing right underneath your sit bones. And your knees are pointed straight towards your the ceiling. So there's no collapsing. And you really want to go slow with the tilting. There's always a much better. There's always a tendency to rush it. But just go really slow, because in the slowness, you'll notice the difference between the two sides. And maybe something has changed. Ah, better. It's also an awareness to have is noticing if one direction of the tilt is easier or more comfortable or more fluid. And as you continue to go back and forth, is it smoothing out? Good. Okay. And then pause with that and go ahead and straighten your legs again. Bring your awareness and attention back inside to your head cavity. See if you can identify where the holes are again for your ears. Can you sense as your breath comes in through your nostrils how it travels to the back of your throat and then goes out your ears? And now from the inside, as you continue to do your breathing coming in through your nostrils, can you find the space, the holes for where your eyes are? And not from, again, the outside. So not like you come outside your body, but you're still in that head cavity. So how far up, let's say on the right side, from where the right nostril is where your right eye socket is. So just notice where that is inside the head cavity. And then find where the socket is for the left eye. And can you sense that where the eye sockets are kind of like at the top part of the where the palate is, they're along the palate, right? Because if you go above the palate, that's where your brain is, and that your eyes sit right below that area where the brain is, right? See if that's all making sense for you. And now, even with your right eye, can you move the right eye a little bit up and down? The eyes are closed. Just feel how you move the eye inside the socket. That's it. And now try to move your right eye, which it will move your left eye, but focus on your right eye, going left and right. So to the inside, where you create tears. And can you feel when you go to the inside that connection down to the nostril? All of a sudden, there's this relationship to the right nostril. And then when you go to the outside with the right eye, there's a correlation, a connection to where the ear is. It's like they line up. So real slowly move your right eye a little bit out and a little bit in. Sensing the inside of that whole right cavity. Continuing to breathe in through your nostrils, feeling that space and volume. And the air traveling all the way back to your throat and going out your ears. And now come over to the left eye and have your left eye look up and down just a little bit. Just feeling the curvature and the socket. And then starting to have the left eye go in and out. And so when it pulls in, it comes towards the where you produce tears and close to the nose. And then when you take the left eye to the outside, there's a relationship. If you were to draw a line, it would be lined up with the ear. They're parallel. Not really parallel. They're on the same line. Right? Because if you think about it, right, we wear glasses, right? Or people that do wear glasses, we all wear sunglasses, so we all wear some kind of glasses, right? Right? And so we set the side things on our ears, right? Right? So there's this line from the corner of your eye back to where the ear is. And again, just becoming aware and noticing if there's any difference in how you move the left eye compared to when you move the right eye. And then pause with that. And you're now going to bring your attention down to your jaw, the lower part. So take your hands and put your thumbs underneath your chin and the rest of your fingers lightly on the chin. But your thumbs are underneath. And you can actually press your tongue down in that space inside the lower cavity. And you'll feel it with your fingers underneath your chin. And if you do that a few times, your jaw will just open, right? The lower jaw opens as you press the tongue down. And you can feel that thick muscle under your chin. So you're just lightly holding with your fingers and your thumbs for feeling. Gives you more clarity. And then start to move your tongue from the center there over to the right, going all the way back along the teeth, to the very furthest teeth. And again, just noticing how that moves your jaw. And then come back around to center and go over to the left. So as you take your tongue to the very furthest part back there, the right and the left side, you just pause for a moment so that you realize that's where the jaw connects. And lo and behold, the jaw connects right where the ears are. So see if you can sense that and feel that spatially inside your mouth. So as you're feeling your jaw moving left and right, you're feeling the actual movement way back where the jaw connects to the skull, and that's where your ears are. And now bring your tongue to lightly press against the lower four teeth, very gently. And then begin to drop open the lower jaws. If you were going to say, ah, and you can make sound if you want, you don't have to, but. And just feel that motion of the lower jaw opening. And can you sense the hinging back by the ears? So your fingers are still on the chin, but you're feeling through the movement all the way to where the hinges are. And this is where a lot of people are actually stuck with any kind of TMJ or grinding, or it's where headaches and a lot of things come from. So again, notice for yourself, how clear are the hinges on both sides? And can you sense your ears right above the hinging? Now, pause for a moment and see if you can move now your jaw just a little bit to the right and to the left. And this will really surprise you because it's actually quite difficult to move your jaw. So it's way easier for the jaw to move when the tongue moves. Let's see if you can just move it to the right and to the left. And if you want to help it out, you can take your tongue and allow your tongue to come out and just lick the corner of the right side of your mouth, and then you'll lick the corner of the left side of your mouth. And then make a big circle with your tongue going all around your lips and feel how that moves your jaw. Good. Okay, and let that go for a moment. And as you're resting, go ahead and bend your knees. Bring your feet back up to standing. Bring your feet back up to standing. And now this is a hard one to stay with. And let's go back to the tilting of your pelvis. Right? Just really slowly tilt the pelvis forward and back. And then as you're tilting it, you're noticing what's happening up through your spine, up to your head and the tilting of your head. And having this awareness of the head cavity, so you're like inside your head and you can sense where your ears are and your eyes, where the back of your throat is, because you painted that whole area. Notice the breath traveling in through the nostrils, how it goes back to the back of the throat and out the ears. So all that is in your awareness as you're tilting your pelvis. And just notice if there's a lot more freedom now up in your neck. And what's the freedom like with your pelvis? That's it. And if there was a difference between one side, you know, one side felt like it could tilt easier or had a greater range, is that changed? Because there's a direct relationship between the ability to move our jaw and the movement of our pelvis. So you make the jaw better, it'll make the pelvis better. You know, or, you know, a lot of people, if they're in lower back pain, pelvic pain, they're clenching their jaw. Okay. And then once again, straighten your legs and rest for a moment. Bringing your awareness back up to your head again. If you were a man, imagine if you had a right side burn, where that would be. So that would come down alongside in front of the right ear, right? You could think of that maybe you almost like paint one on. And how that starts to define underneath there where the upper jaw and lower jaw connect on the right side, which is, again, right where the right ear is. So the right ear sits right behind that sideburn. And now let's go to the left side and draw or paint on a left sideburn. Again, it's right in front of the left ear, and it's where the upper and lower jaw connect. And now bring your thumbs, and let me describe it first because then you won't be able to hear me afterwards, but you're going to bring your thumbs and actually place them inside your ears, and then taking your index fingers to measure up the top of your head so you get the sense of outer volume where your brain is. So as you stick your fingers in your thumbs in your ears, that takes you to the top of the palate. And then if you wrap your fingers over the top of your head, this gives you a sense of where the upper palate and then where your brain is stored in your skull. So again, it's just a sense. Yeah, it's like things that we never pay attention to, right? And then take your hands away and keep that in your mind's eye. And go back with your tongue now to the back upper right corner and just go up over the palate and over to the left, just like we did in the beginning, so that you get that clear image of the head cavity right to left, and then above that you sense that's where your brain is and then your skull. So you're bringing in the outer sense of your head. And if you need to, you can take your tongue forward and back, going from the front teeth all the way back to the throat again to give yourself that volume. And now bring your fingertips to come behind where your neck is. And if you go up your neck, you go up high enough, you're going to find the base of your skull. And with your fingers back here, go ahead and bend your knees, bring your feet to standing, and start to tilt your pelvis again. And as you do, right, you've already learned how, as your pelvis tilts, your head tilts. And if you're real soft with your fingers there, you'll see that as the head tilts backwards, it's almost like a space, a groove is made where your fingers can kind of suck up underneath your skull. And then when you tilt your chin down towards your chest, it's like it pushes your fingers back. And this is the bottom of your skull there. That bone's called the occiput. Most people don't realize that your skull is broken into, divided into four bones. So this is called the occiput back there. So just feel how your fingers, you can define that. And then if you travel from there over with your fingers to right where your ears are, behind your ears and above, if you want to put your hands there as you continue to tilt, those two bones on the left and right are called the parietal bones. And they connect all the way at the top of your head. So the occiput is along the back, and then if you put your fingers right along the side where your ears are, and above your ears to the top of your head, that will be those parietal bones. So not in the back anymore. Go along the side of your head. There you go, the side of your head, above your ears. Those are your parietal bones. They go all the way up to the top of your head. They're big. And then the last bone is your frontal bone, which is along your forehead. So by touching those four bones, now you've got the outside dimension, and can you still maintain that inner cavity dimension that you painted earlier? And can you still have a sense of where the eye sockets, the ears, the nostrils, the throat, the lower jaw, all these different parts are? And if you want on your own another time, what you can do is even bring your hands, if you bring your fingers to rest on the top of your head, right? So that they barely cross each other. This is exactly, it's called sutures. So put your hands, your fingers up there. And just as you observe your breathing, as you take in a breath and then exhale, if you're really careful up there, right, gentle, you'll feel the parietal bones move the same way as your breath. So you can actually feel them moving apart and together. And we have to have that so that the brain can expand. Everything in our body is like sphincters. Everything expands and contracts, including your brain. It's a muscle. That's kind of fun. Good. Okay, so taking one last moment to just rest your arms by your side and tilt your pelvis maybe a couple more times. And at the same time that you're tilting your pelvis, noticing the breath traveling in through your nostrils, going back into the head cavity, coming out your ears, how the space for your ears gets larger. Just see if that whole image is clear, and then the quality of tilting your pelvis and the connection up to your head is much smoother. Good. Okay. And then let all that go and just rest. And as you're resting on your back now, take a moment to observe how you're lying on your back now. And if you can recall in the beginning of the lesson, I had you observe your spine, noticing if there were any places that were a little fuzzy or unclear, and I said we will come back to that. Notice if those areas that were unclear are clearer now. And in fact, just to notice for yourself if the whole image of yourself is somehow clearer. Good. Okay. So, taking your time, you'll maybe want to roll your head a little bit left and right and see how your neck feels, and then in your own way, come to a side, bring yourself to sitting and then standing to observe how you feel from this lesson in standing, especially in standing, how different your posture will feel and where your head feels in space now.